This Week in Free Energy.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Hello, this is Sterling Allen. You have joined us for the Free Energy Now segment. We have a special guest today, Angelo Di Pietro from Australia. He is with the company Engineer. He's an inventor slash CEO. We are going to be going in-depth in talking about their technology. This is actually a pre-recorded segment. Today's date is September 27th, 2006. Angelo, how are you doing?
Good, Alan. Can I call you Alan, yes?
Well, that's my last name, if that works for you. Sterling is preferable.
It does work beautiful for me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, the reason we're pre-recording this is because you've got some oversight of investors and SEC or your equivalent of it down in Australia. You have to watch your P's and Q's, and if you accidentally say something that is out of school, we can go and delete it out, and we can have a clean segment. Is that correct?
That's the way I like. Thank you very much, Alan.
Okay. Well, you have a very fascinating technology. If I recall right from our last phone conversation, kind of the last thing you said was that you believe this technology could provide affordable, reliable, clean energy solution that could be implemented almost immediately, and right now you actually have a number of vehicles that have this technology implemented in it, and you're in process of licensing and manufacturing in various locations. Let's talk about that. What is the technology?
Well, the technology is actually an engine, a new type of engine. It's an engine that uses compressed air instead of petrol for its power source. This engine converts energy into work at a very high efficiency. It is achieved with simplicity, cost saving to manufacture and user, and environmentally friendly. Now, cost saving to manufacture because the engine to start with, it requires less material to be built. It requires less work to machine. It requires less parts within the engine. And these parts, they don't even touch with each other. Or if they do, it's insignificant, the area which they're sliding against each other. Now, as a result of all this, and other tricks that we use, the engine is very, very efficient. In 2002, our engine was 85% efficient. At the time, we were not able to use that engine on mobile application because we simply could not do the range. Now that has changed. We are actually driving mobile application, and the reason for that is because we have improved a little bit more onto the efficiency, but we're using other tricks in order to gain more from that compressed air. And as you said before, yes, we can actually produce electricity environmentally friendly. At the moment, we're using electricity to compress the air, okay? So, you know, we are not 100% environmentally friendly because the electricity gets generated in some place by gas, by oil, by coal, whatever. But in the future, we can use the sun power to do so. And that will be done with our engine also. Next question,
please. Let's talk about the size of this thing. I remember
the size of the engine. Well, you know, the size of the engine that we use, and we have been driven a small car, like in 2002, we could not do the range, but we did drive the car with it, and we got speed up to 50, 60 kilometers an hour at the time. The engine actually fits in between your two hands. It's the size of a small casserole.
It looks almost like a brake assembly on a vehicle. It's so small.
That's all right. Actually, it's smaller than that. If you were to look at the under the engine, it's smaller than that. And when you're looking at the vehicle and when you look at the brakes, that is the very place where the engine will be installed.
And how many horsepower is that size?
Sorry, yeah. Well, you know, if you were to open the bonnet of the future car, there is nothing in it. There will not be an engine in it. And the good thing about being small, it's few good things about being small. One, because this allows you a new creation of cars, a smaller car, a light car, and but also reducing the weight of the car is essential, because you know what are we doing at the moment? We driving most of the cars; they are on 1.5 ton. So a lot of energy that we use is actually used to move the car instead of moving the people. Just look the difference between the width of the car and the person. Usually you see a person inside the car. And this water needs to be changed apart from the fact that the conventional engines, 65% of the energy, which is the petrol, is used to actually drive the engine itself. And then, of course, by the time it goes through the gearbox, differential, everything else, you finish up at the wheel with around 16 to 20%. Now, remember, this other energy that you got left at the wheel, you're still going to push the car forward. So really, you know, this thing about so many horsepower, using so many horsepower to drive a car, it's crazy. And we don't do that. Now, I'd just like to mention a couple of things. I have been in USA a month ago, and I have saw a couple nice big company over there, one of which is already involved with us. I cannot mention the name as a result of having non-disclosure agreements with them. But that's no problem. I can say that if I was to obtain a written permission from them. But I can't do that this time. So things are happening with us. And not only that, I was in Italy. In Italy, I have no negotiating over there with a car manufacturer. They're actually manufacturing racing cars, the Formula One type racing cars, but they're also building road cars. The old car is in carbon fiber. The old car, including the engine, gearbox, differential, and radiator, whatever, all of the things that usually an internal combustion requires, the old car weighs 350 kilograms. There you go. This is the future, you know? And people now starting to look, to think this way. But, it's very difficult, Alan. It's very, very difficult to be able to do that when you're stuck with an internal combustion engine, because you know, if you put a big engine there with the gearbox and everything else, you also need to build the chassis to support all of that. But with our system, everything is light, and it's not much there anyway. So
okay,
our system will really allow for that.
Can I interject here something? We have a little bit of a delay between when you talk and my talk, and when I talk, it makes it a little bit difficult to have a dialogue here. I have a lot of questions that have come up in what you've been talking about. Just for clarification, let me just make sure I understand correctly that your engine that would be comparable to, let's say, a standard automobile in the United States that fills the engine compartment, your engine would be something that, say, maybe 50 pounds you could hold in your hands, maybe 8 inches in diameter, would do the same power output using compressed air.
You don't need to do the same power output. That is the question, you know. we must stop using so many horsepower to drive the car. That is the crazy part about. If we need to go from one place to another, we need to think which one is the most efficient way to do that. We don't do that. We use so much power. You know, that's where we're doing things different here. You know, can we do, instead of 100 horsepower, can we do with one only horsepower? Now, provide you get there at the same speed, all right, and provide that you are getting there, well, you know, this question about how much power should be forgotten about. We say power. I can say, you know, at the moment people say, you know, 100 horsepower is my car, 200 horsepower, 300 horsepower. All right? I don't have to tell people how many horsepower is my car. I can say any words. Instead of saying horsepower, I can say anything. All right? But I put a number there and I say 1,000. Now everybody believes, gee, you know, but they still see me to get to this place. And so they will not be concerned about it. But if I was to say one horsepower, oh, you know, that's no good.
Right.
But, you know, you understand me, Alan?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You're saying that the present automobile design is very heavy and a lot of the energy is used to turning the engine itself,
yeah,
and the gearbox losses. And with your system, the car could be so much smaller and the engine losses are almost zero,
yes,
so the engine requirement is much smaller to begin with. The car can be a lot smaller to begin with.
Yeah.
In your design, would you anticipate one engine per tire, or would you just have one for the whole system?
It can be. Look, at the moment we build the same size engine, okay? And what we do, we might put onto a motor scooter just one, because one is more than enough. Then back to buy vehicles such as Mebel Market Solid, we show it on our website, and John Deere type vehicle, which actually we retrofit. We only use one engine in there. Now, if we go into the cars, we will use two engines, preferable on the front wheels. Then let's say that we're going on, you know, we want a four-wheel drive, we will use four engines. Then if we want a minibus, we use four engines. If we want a big bus, we then will use maybe four larger, bit larger engines. So, you know, the engine can go into anything. It can go into boats, anything you can think of, stationary application. And the question is, all of this is really done 100% clean.
Let's talk about the tanks for a minute. How big of a tank and range would you get?
Yes.
In a vehicle, in your vehicle, from what I understand, the size of the engine would maybe be replaced by the size of the air tank.
The size of the engine would be, remember, you have tanks into the cars already these days using natural compressed gas and other things. So the tanks are already there anyway. Some of the vehicle using the tanks plus the larger motor plus the gearbox and everything else that is already there.
We will have
tanks. But the tanks also, they will be in carbon fiber, which is a very light material. I have here tanks from USA. The company that we got them from, it's Luxfer USA. And the old tank weighs 13 kilograms. So, you know, that problem is already solved about the tank and the weight anyway.
Could you tell that company, Knox Ford?
Luxfer. L-U. Let me write that down. It's L-U-X-F-E-R.
Okay.
Or close to that. But definitely, the last three letters, I got them correct. Actually, the first four. I'm not sure about last two.
Okay.
But I can check on that and inform you exactly.
Right. The the price on these tanks? Are they not quite expensive, these carbon fiber tanks?
Yes, they are. But see what happens, you know, with everything, you know. If you have only a small volume, this special application at the moment, they use them into aeroplanes, they use them for medical use, whatever. And so it's not a huge requirement. And as a result of the price, it's high. But, you know, when you increase the volume, everything comes down.
Right. And so let's just envision a system that might be a two-passenger system with two of your engines. What size of tank would you need to give you, let's say, a 300-mile range?
300 miles, that is around 400-some kilometers, isn't it? Yes. Well, look, you know, the situation with our system, it's different than the one, say, with the electric car. You don't have to go 300 miles, and I tell you why. If you were to use an electric car, okay, now, if you were to run out of energy, then you stop it because you might need 8 hours to recharge. Our system only takes 5 minutes to do that. So even if you were to fill up every 100 miles, that should be acceptable to us. Yes, okay, some people still go from one city to another with the cars. But remember, that is also changing. There is, you know, most people traveling these days, even going from one city to another, they're using aeroplanes. And, but, you know, as I said before, it only takes 5 minutes. So you spend 5 minutes and you're up and running again. So it's not a big deal. Why do we want to do that? Because when you buy the cars, we can have two tanks instead of one. We can have four tanks instead. But when you buy the car, you will be buying more because we have put more into the car. But not only that, you will be putting more air into the car. And that increases the weight. And as a result of the efficiency changes, the more you put into the car, the less it costs you, the more it costs you to travel. Well, if you were to go, keep the minimum onto the car, then otherwise it's more efficient. But the system is very efficient. We can do around 100 kilometers with $2 worth of electricity, using the electricity to run the compressor. And, these are the right that we buy the electricity at Engineer. We are a very small company, so if we were a big user of electricity, we would buy less also. And, but, you know, the thing is that, people is talking about the environment and where we're going at the moment and so on, and I really do have the technology to take care of that. Now, there is some of the things that I cannot discuss on radio because, we just need to be careful about our technology. It is not just the air. We have something else there that makes that happen.
Right.
But we do it environmentally friendly.
So and back to the question about range.
Yeah.
Could you envision a system where, similar to a Dell computer, I just barely got myself a notebook computer, and there were a lot of options that I could choose from. Basically, I went through a checklist of things that I wanted. I submitted that, and then a week later, I got my computer. And your system could possibly be that versatile, where let's say somebody who only has a 50-kilometer commute versus somebody who has a 400-kilometer desire, they could basically design their vehicle to have what components would make the most sense for them. Is that correct?
Definitely. Yes, you can do that.
And so it would be fairly easy to increase or decrease the number of tanks or even the number of engines in a car required for the necessary...
Yeah. But see, you mentioned before, how much is the tank, how heavy is the tank, how much the tank costs. Remember, we need to think redesign. All right? Redesign, that might mean kind of be the chassis, the actual tank, because it can be. So what happens? By the time you got the shots, you don't have to go and make or buy a thing. And that's because for every application.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is a solution for every problem. It's not what is there, all right? What we need to look at, what this engine can do, all right? And run some compressed air, how much energy it needs to run the engine. Would you believe, Alan, when you look the dial indicator, it doesn't even come off the zero. It's already running. Yes, there is a flaw there, but it does not show the pressure yet. And I have not been plied with the dial indicator. Just get the dial indicator, put him in plies. We can use any dial indicator from anyone around the world, and we will all watch. This has surprised me also.
I should mention that in the conference on future energy that I attended in Washington, D.C. this past weekend, your technology was actually featured by the host of the show, Tom Vallone, during one segment. He actually showed a videotape segment of your technology from a television program that was featured your technology. And I was able to see you and going around in your vehicles.
Yes.
It showed you holding one of these engines in your hand.
Yes.
He gave you a good thumbs up at that conference. I thought you would appreciate knowing that.
Yes, yes. That program, in fact, has been shown all around the world. And this is the very reason why I was in USA last month. And actually, from there, I went to Italy, I went to India, and I went to Taiwan, and I just come back from China. This is all as a result of that very program you mentioned. But there have been other programs, like News and the New Inventor Show, which we won that program, and or the episode of that program, and one other show. But it has also been in many newspapers around the world. And you know, so we have had a lot of coverage, and all of that has come for free to us, which have been a very, very good thing. But look, you know, we have had many, many people visiting us, and every one of them, they got shocked after, because most of the people, they don't believe that with compressed air, you really can do what we do. But we can do that and much more. In fact, we can generate electricity with this system by using the sun, the power of the sun.
And the,
so
let's talk about that mechanism for a second. How would you envision that mechanism or system to work?
For generating electricity?
Yeah, from solar energy.
Well, look... okay, I just would say that in a simple way, all right? Let's say that you focus the sunlight in with mirror, and then you get your sunlight with mirror, and then you focus them in one place, all right?
Mm-hmm.
That energy is then transferred from where you condense. You know, when you're sending the beam down...
The concentrated solar?
Yes. No, from the sun goes to the mirror, from the mirror goes to the half balloon shape, whatever it's called, that I can't think of now. And that's concentrated like a beam. It goes into a specific place. Now... there you have a contact. I start again, Alan. Sorry, forgive me just for 1 second. Sorry, Alan.
Okay.
After a little while with my voice, I'm having a little bit of problem. Just 1 second, please. Okay, I start again. Let's say that you dig a hole into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, you insulate that hole. You then put into this hole salt, table salt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you cover that hole and insulate that hole. and you leave an opening in there. Now that's where the beam from the sunlight goes into. But you concentrate that with the mirrors. So what you would do now, you will melt the salt. And say you bring them up to 850 degrees. Now remember that our engine is almost 100% efficient. Now if you were to start, say, with a tank already compressed with air, and that's, you know, at whatever pressure. Now you take a value out of that tank, and with a coil you go through the melt salt. The value that you take out of the tank, say, it's a value of one. Then by the time you go through the salt, it comes out from there a volume of five. And then from there it goes into our engine, which you compress there and put back the volume that you were using in the first place. And the balance of, you're generating electricity. But see, the good thing about this is that you also can use that energy when there is no sun. And it's very easy to store heat. And we have some good material at the moment to insulate. The best insulation it's a vacuum. But I think, you know, that there is very, very good material at the moment when you look, you know, the technology that they use in spice, you know, to insulate. You look in some 1500 degrees and you can touch the other side. So there is some very good material I think we can use and being able to store and maintain this energy in there for a long time. So, you know, if you were to think of winter, hey, we can store enough heat to in summer, you know, to generate energy for winter. And we've got plenty of the stuff. And plenty of land also that it's no use.
Let's talk for a minute about the kinds of gases that can go through this engine. You call it a compressed air engine, but I would imagine other gases,
yes,
and possibly even steam could,
yes,
go through the system as well. Is that correct?
Yes. That's also, it's the other one, yes.
Is it conceivable that you could actually replace the steam turbines in a power plant with,
yes,
your engine and get much greater efficiencies?
100%, yes.
Okay. Is that a market that you're pursuing right now, or is that for another day?
I have had, there is a lot of people around the world, they are looking into that direction. And mine, you see, the small people that they are interested to do the changes. I never hear from the big company. The big company, the people they already generated electricity, the people that today already makes their money, they don't call me, they don't want to know me. It's the small people, and there is many of them around the world. The problem is, you know, if we commit ourselves with a small company, that will take ages before we get them off the ground. So we need decent company to start with, and that's what we're looking for at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I have had scientists visiting me over here, and, you know, they know that the system will work. That is the only one. And, you know, but unfortunately, you know, the funds are simply not there. And when we see that, you know we're not going to get any way. Or if we do, it's, you know, we need few lifetime. And really, you know, we need to get on with this and do something really about it. Alan, look, I tell you, I hear every day people that are talking about the environment. But what are they doing about? You know, it's, you know, really, you know, just talking about. I also, Alan, I have ringed places. And, you know, and I thought that these people would drop everything and would run and talk to me. And, you know, some of these people, they're talking every day about the environment, but, you know, we really need to do something about this. I have the technology. My interest, it's you know, course we need to do business and we make money, and if we do make money, that means we can do even bigger things, so it's important to do that. But, you know, this is a desire that comes from the investor that put the money into HNA. But I'm looking at two things. Yes, we need to make money, but also I want to put my technology onto the market.
Let's talk about the price and the savings, or the efficiency savings, of an existing turbine in a power plant that is harnessing steam, turning it into electricity. What kind of efficiencies, price and the efficiency of conversion, would we be talking about with the engineer system?
Well, okay. Now, okay. I have had scientific reports, and I do hold on to these scientific reports. And if I was to have a non-disclosure agreement from anybody around the world, then I would be able to hand over this report. But just to mention what it was there, that report said that if we were to use petrol with this engine, we would use 1/3 of the petrol and develop 2x the horsepower. That's what he's got out of his scientific report, numerical system. Now, with the steam, he has made his calculation on the test certification that we had conducted on 2002. And according of that test certification, we would have had 40% and above if we would have run on with steam. But things have changed since then. Because what we do now, just so it can be understood, without me disclosing too much. Let's say that we have a volume of air at whatever compression. Let's say there is 100 psi, but I choose to use 50 psi. Now I will get so much power out of the engine by using 50 psi and that volume of air. All right? Now, by using, you know, by running a system in different way, I can actually develop 2x the power by using the same volume of air. And that can be done with steam also. So what I'm saying to you is, there's, the test from 2002 and where we are now, it's a big gap. So, you know, leaving this team, we have not done any calculation about the efficiency if it was run with steam lately.
How many iterations have you gone through? You've been doing this for how many years now?
How many years did we work on to the engine?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have we have been working on to the engine for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's every day. But before then, I actually worked by myself onto the engine for at least 3 years. And before then, maybe on and off, only during the time that I could go back and work, because I was also running my business. So, you know, I would have been working on at least for another 5-6 years.
What were you doing before you did this?
I had an engineering business. And I actually was very successful with that. And really, you know, that would have given me the opportunity to be able to do what I did. One, because I had some of the machines. Two, I had the material around me. Three, I had the time. Four, I could draw things myself and so on. So I didn't have to rely on other people or buy other people. That it did actually give me the opportunity to get, to build the engine and so on. And of course, when I done the first test, I was surprised, to see how good the engine was running. you know, from the first test. I didn't even expect that myself.
How many iterations or versions of the engine have you gone through in that time?
Only one. No, sorry, I should say I built the first prototype, and then we built a series of another five prototypes. We now have prototype 7 drawings finished, and this engine is specifically designed for the cars.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Now, you, if I understood correctly before, you were saying that you currently have one refined design that is production prototype quality. Is that correct?
We have in production started. We have had a few engines delivered, maybe 20 engines delivered, and there should be another 20 coming next 1 or 2 weeks. And but I'm actually talking to people in USA also to produce this engine. We are negotiating these type of things at the moment there. And I have been talking to people in China, and they have shown a lot of interest, so there is a very good chance that they can also be produced from there.
And so they would basically be producing this engine, which would entail an input port for the compressed air with a standard nozzle fitting and an output torque shaft, is that correct?
Sorry, Alan, I'm having a bit of difficulty hearing. Can you say that again, please?
The production unit that people would be purchasing essentially entails an input port for the for the compressed air with a standard nozzle fitting and then an output shaft of torque, is that correct?
Yes, yes.
And then the whatever application was being used could then be fitted to that
That's
design.
All right. You know, I mean, if you were to use, say, one of these engines to a boat, then, you know, you really need to shape the engine so it cuts into the... Because the engine can go straight into the water. It doesn't have to go outside, as you see the convention outboard model of today. There is no need. There needs to be a pit. It can be attached right underneath the boat.
So you are in production now. People can order one of these now. Is that correct?
Well, really, we don't sell any of them either because we're not quite ready for the market. Remember, the market, they're talking about, I have been talking to companies in USA, 400,000 models that require per year to go into boat, and they're only the small models. Then I have been talking to other companies where they're putting into other applications, in USA also, 150,000 a year. Mm-hmm. It's a big number. So when you're starting to look around the world, you're looking millions of engines. Remember, only the stationary application, there is $2.5 billion worth of model every year for the stationary application. Places such as mining, refinery, and so on. So, you know,
there's 2.5 billion motors built.
$2.5 billion worth of motors sold for the stationary application each year.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an enormous amount of air generated to run this motor. And remember, the RAL system will cut the cost of compressing air at least by half. So when you think there's 10% to 30% of the compressed air, of the energy, 10% to 30% of the energy, of the electricity, it's used to generate compressed air into the industry. Now, if we were to cut that enough, but I think we can double and we can triple with our system, the siding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just imagine the benefit to the environment. And the benefits to the end user,
now,
the benefits to everybody.
Would this system also work in reverse so that you could use it similar to regenerative braking?
Yes, we have had the first five prototypes with the reverse on, But then a little bit later, we actually stopped doing that because we find that the engine can be built much, much more economically if we were not to do that. And then if someone requires the reverse, we will specially build that for them.
Mm-hmm. Would you not want to have the regenerative production capability for any system such as an automobile?
Regenerate power within the system, within the car, you say?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that we really need that, because remember, what is happening is this, okay? When we use compressed air, say, from 3,000 PSI or above, all right, when we actually using that air, the temperature drops minus 50, even minus 100. So what happens? Because it gets so cold, it becomes like a sponge absorbing heat. So we actually are getting the energy from the atmosphere in the first place. So, you know, we're already doing that. And then as we're moving on, we're getting other energy. But we don't get the energy by regenerating from a bright system, no. Because I really believe that that will add work onto the car, and also will add also, you have to care that system wherever you go with you. And really, you know, we don't see that much of benefit there. But anything, you know, it's possible. That also can be done.
Well, let's talk about the reverse process of actually compressing air, spinning the shaft with an input source and compressing air. For, let's say, for example, you've got a wind turbine, and you want to make compressed air with the turning shaft from a wind turbine.
Yes, you can do that.
Would your system be the optimal system for making compressed air?
Well, we have not run our engine as a compressor, but, you know, there is a very good possibility, because the function of this model, it's exactly the same of the function of a piston model.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Definitely, it can be done, but we have not done that at this time. We have not tested.
Are you familiar with the work of Mark Holzapfel in Texas A&M, where he has a technology that can run on any input fuel? And there's two components in an engine. You've got the compressor cycle and the, I guess he called it regenerative cycle. And they have the compressor technology prototypes already done, and the testing done on that. That may be a compressor technology that may be a nice fit with your technology that's more designed to use compressed air for a high energy or efficiency output.
Mm. Well, you know, my mind is actually looking more into other things instead of actually compressing. Yes, we do need to compress, but we're thinking of compressing the minimum amount possible, because compressing air, it's not very efficient. Now, I just give you an example. I just moved away from this, if you don't mind. So I see if I can explain myself in different ways. If you were to have a battery, say, and you put a volume of energy into that battery of $1, all right, now we run a vehicle, that vehicle would do a distance, all right? Now, instead of charging the battery, you fill in the tank, the air tank, and you put a volume in there of $1 also. Now, with that energy, you also will be making such a distance. So the two systems, they give you back about the same volume. The only difference is the battery, you need a long time to recharge, and it's toxic. And also, you have to replace every 450 times that you charge. Well, the air cylinder, it needs to be tested after 10,000 times that you charge. So already there, you see huge benefits by having our system. But the other interesting is that if you were to do so much distance again, that means you need to put another dollar of volume of energy into the battery, and then you get that distance again. But instead now, if you are, say, that's, I'm having a little bit of problem by saying this, but we might, Alan, you know, if you were to heat up the air now, okay, you will get 10 times that much, or will cost you 10% instead of $1. And that means if you use 10% of the energy in heat, that will double the volume that you have into the cylinder.
Yeah, I would imagine the higher the pressure in the tank, the harder it is to put additional air into the tank. And so your efficiencies would be greater if you can stay on the toward empty rather than going toward a full cylinder scenario. Is that what you're saying?
Well, not really. I'm not saying, what I'm saying, Alan, is it's there, you know, you should not look in about compressing too much air. And yes, you're right, the higher the pressure, you know, the more energy you need to do that. But, you know, the secret is to use as minimum possible volume of air and then store heat. All right. Store heat. It's easy to store. It's not like the battery or like the air tank. So if you were to store heat, all right, then you run your air from wherever you got your storage into the heat storage and out of the heat storage into another.
Well, here's now, a good pair a match for you. Then one of the technologies that's on the cutting edge that's about to emerge is actually a cold fusion heater. D2Fusion.com, that's George, Russ George's technology. They are hoping to have product as early as 2007 where you could buy a heater that uses cold fusion technology, and you could have a cold fusion heater on your car that would then heat the air that could then enhance the output of the compressed air to run.
Well, that might be a very good thing you just told me, because I was not aware of that. And I, if you don't mind, I'd like to have a link of these people.
Sure. Yeah, I can do that. Again, that's d2fusion.com. I'll send you a link by email as well.
d2fusion.com, yeah?
That's the
Thank
number.
You, Alan. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have any other questions? Yeah.
Sure. You were talking earlier about different companies. You weren't able to name names for proprietary reasons, which is understandable.
Yeah.
I'm just wanting to get an idea of a time frame of when we might see these technologies available
okay.
for purchase.
Look, I mentioned to you about the people in USA. I went to Italy and I was able to negotiate a deal with the car company over there. I actually got the agreement from them yesterday. That agreement requires to do a couple changes in there, but I think they're ready to send the car to me now. So if that was to happen, if everything goes to plan, you know, the plan is that we have 1 year time to put the car together, to do the trip from Melbourne to Sydney, and then send them back to them in Italy to showcase in Europe. Right? So there is still a little bit of time before you actually see the cars driving onto the roads. And but the other thing I can say is I'm also waiting for other proposals from China. It's a very, very big company. They're producing cars also over there. And also they're producing model scooters. I was there 2 weeks ago. They're very, very keen to get started with us. And we are waiting also for the proposal to come from there. Now, I think we will be accepting the deal if it's according to the discussion we had when I was there.
Mm-hmm. And the U.S. company, is that the only one who's talking about
It's actually two in USA, yeah.
producing individual motors.
Well, one company they have started already, they are working on, and the other company, we have not finalized things yet.
Mm-hmm. When do you think it'll be that somebody could actually go to a website somewhere and purchase a motor?
No, because what happens, you know, I have thousands of emails from people around the world that they want to purchase, one, two, and so on. And we have not sold one individual engine to anyone. And the reason why we don't do that is because we know that people would just simply open up and then, you know, we will be left behind. I think, you know, I have the responsibility of looking after the interest of the shareholder here, too. And that's why it's also very, very difficult for me to open up and go into the detail about the technology, especially on radio.
But you do have patents, don't you?
Sorry?
You have patents, don't you?
Yes, we do. But, you know, doesn't guarantee that nobody can build or overtake you with the technology. Everyone, you know, is very secretive about what they're doing. You know, when we have visitors over here, and we usually don't go 100% into detail, you know, we have to have a non-disclosure agreement signed by each of them. That's the company policy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, remember the investors, you know, they put the money on the belief that they're going to be making money on.
So earlier when we were talking about these 20 that have been produced and 20 more in the next 1 to 2 weeks, those are not for individual sale, but for demonstration to potential licensees?
For demonstration also, we might be giving them to individual companies that, they have signed up with us. We could be giving to them just for displaying, in their office or whatever, or onto an application and so on. We really need to be ready 100% for the market. And the idea that I have is this, all right? Producing the engine at the best price possible. Now, what that means, that we will have, enough engine for everybody, and because the price is correct or it's low enough, there will not be anybody attempting to build the engine if that was the case. There is things on the market these days that nobody will want to build themselves because they know they can't do for such a price. So if we were to achieve that, then that would be a better thing than the pie than the chef.
What price are you looking at right now for?
Well, look, the engine, the old engine, if it's built in aluminium, it will weigh around 6 kilograms. All right? Now, if how do you put a price on? Well, just think this way. Look, an average car. What is the cost of an average car? Say it's $30,000. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens? You divide, the $30,000 into 1,500 kilograms. And that's, I think, it gives you about $20 per kilogram. That's the volume of that car, $20 per kilogram. Now, if you multiply it by 5-6, you know how much the engine should be cost. But remember that the car has electronics, upholstery, and so on, things that are much lighter and more expensive to build. So even by doing that, you will see the $100, $200, it's more than what it should be. So that engine, it could be built with less than $100. And if we do that, nobody's going to bother about building any engine. They're just simply going to buy instead.
What is your major impediment right now? What is the primary logjam that's keeping things...
Well, my competitor in stationary application, it's companies like Atlas Copco, Ingersoll Rand, and they, I think they bought maybe USA company. But when you look the mobile application, I really don't think I have any competitors. There is a company that we know of, I don't think it's right for me to mention the name, but, you know, we consider ourselves a mile ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have started much later than they have. They have been around for quite some time.
My question, and that's good information. I appreciate that you're talking about what other comparable technologies might exist. My question is, right now, what would you consider to be your biggest obstacle or what is keeping...
I really don't think I don't think that I have any right now. I really feel that I went past the danger point. I'm really going into the right direction at the moment, and I have been talking to the largest companies around the world. I didn't go and see a small company. I'm talking about the very high up companies. And I have had meetings starting around 2 o'clock in the afternoon and finishing around 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, you know, that tells you something, you know. People just doesn't sit there, and I got hours of questions asked.
How big is your team?
Very small. Very, very small. I have had couple engineers over here and couple scientists, and then there was a time that I could not keep them because the money, you know, was running out, and so, you know, I did actually finish up by myself for a period of time, and but then I was fortunate enough to get two other persons that they have given me a lot of help. But we do have quite a few investors, but we have spent quite a bit of money also over the years.
You think maybe it's time to start building that team a little bit bigger to handle the demand that will be coming?
Definitely, yes. And that's what we do in, I'm talking about people that they own university. I'm talking about people that they already have everything that we need. And so the teams, they are there, and then it's not one company, but there will be many companies around the world, and each of these companies, they might be working on different projects, so the chances of being successful, they're real. They are real.
Mm-hmm.
And the money also. Remember, with the money, you do anything that needs to be done. Nothing is impossible anymore. If there is a problem there, somewhere along the line, it's just another problem can be solved.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as the most feasible method for producing compressed air in today's technology?
Well, living compressors, they really have not improved much on the efficiency since they first were made. But, you know, there is companies that they're compressing air all the time. And, they'll be the people that we will be needing to talk to because they have been looking into the efficiency, I'm sure of. And, of course, they would not go and tell the opposition about. Now, you know, the standard compressor that you buy, that is the one people looking the efficiency off. But the compressor that really gets used to compress air where they're making hydrogen or oxygen and so on, they're doing that every day. So, you know, I think that applies that we need to look into how efficient they're doing that. And why not make sense for us to start from zero and try to work on maybe, you know, the technology, much better technology for doing this is already there, so we should be looking into that. That would be next step. But even if we were to, compress air with the system that they're selling at the moment, the high-pressure compressors, we can do about 100 kilometers with $2 of energy. That is much better than the patron or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So living like that, it's quite attractive. But that will get better. And of course, you know, later on when, you know, we use solar power, that will change again.
Do you conceive that you could actually have an onboard compressor?
No. It doesn't make sense to have onboard compressor because, remember, you need to carry that compressor with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you will have filling stations. Filling stations, you know, where today it's the petrol station. You know, it would be similar system, except it's not petrol day. You got a compressor day, and you got the stacks of cylinders. That is your filling station. So the air is already compressed. When you get there, you simply plug in and you transfer the air from the filling station to your cars. And that will take 5 minutes.
Do you think the most efficient application for transportation would be a motor, a motorcycle type of vehicle? Just two wheels?
Well, look, anything you can think of, you know, it does make things much more efficient if our technology was used. For example, all right, if you were to look, say, a vehicle to run into markets or factory or warehouses, all right, some of these vehicles that they're driving at the moment, they have, say, about 8-9 horsepower internal combustion engine. And most of the time, they don't have a starting system. They have a hand system to start it up. So what happens, you know, because it makes it difficult to start this way, people just start it, and the engine goes all the time. If they are loading a vehicle, the engine runs. If they are unloading, they run. If they are talking to someone, it's run. So, you know, as a result of, they're using a lot of energy apart from making a lot of pollution. But our system, you're only using energy when you put your foot onto the accelerator. That's the only time.
Mm-hmm.
The minute you let go, that's it. You don't use anymore. And then also, it's not like the battery, that the energy runs out of the battery with time. Our system, it's like a tire. You put the air into the tire, and it's there living for, you know, 10, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there is so much. You know, it does make a better sense.
When do you think you might get into the airline industry where you're going to have longer distances and much higher speeds?
We will be able to. You're talking about 300 miles, being able to do 300 miles?
Well, the flight I just went on.
I have had people from USA, and that was a week or two ago. They're talking about buses only doing about 6-7 kilometers before they're going back to depot. So this person was saying to me, we don't have to do 100 kilometers, we don't have to do 200, we're only going to do 2 kilometers. So if that's the case, we were ready 6 years ago for them. But now we can do 100, we can do 200. That's why, you know, most of the cars, they are driving within the city or around the city. So, you know, getting to the filling station in 2 or 5 minutes, that's insignificant.
What about international flight? When do you think you'll be ready for, with your technology to handle that?
Are you talking about aeroplanes now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, look, well, I think that might be one of the areas where the engine needs to be run with fumes. But
mm-hmm.
some of the applications, they can run and can run on air. But, you know, this is a little bit too far down the track for us now, you know. I really think we want to start with things like boats, motor scooter cars, buses, and even trains. But, maybe a little bit too early to comment about big things like aeroplanes and ships and so on. definitely, you know, we will have to have something else there. Unless we have a huge, not huge, you know, but decent storage of heat and very, very high temperatures, which, you know, gives you the sum result of what is happening with the internal combustion engine at the moment.
Well,
you know, the secret in all of this is store heat, which is easy to do, maintain that heat, make sure that it's well insulated, and keep the temperature as high as possible, and use the right material to be able to store as much energy possible in it. Now, there is some good materials where you can get 11 times more than what you can get into battery in the form of heat. That is the thing. Now, when you do that, all right, you also don't making any pollution at all. In fact, the air coming out of the system is cleaner than the air went into the compressor in the first place, because before it went into the compressor, went through the filter. So the air coming out of the engine will be much cleaner.
That reminds me of the Mark Holzapfel's design. Well, Angelo, it's been a fantastic talking to you. I've appreciated your time and sharing with us information about your technology and your company and the progress you've made. I congratulate you on what you've been able to accomplish. Are there any last comments you want to make before we wrap this up?
Yes, I really appreciate what you just said, and I appreciate your time, and I appreciate you having interviewed me. I like you people down there in USA. I think that's what I like to say. I like you people very much.
Thank you very much. Our audience, of course, is international, but
everybody. Take care, Alan. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Your website is engineer.com, spelled E-N-G-I-N-A-I-R.
Yes. Yes, please.
.com. So they can check you out there.
.com.au. Australia, for Australia. .au.
Right. But the .com works as well. That's correct, right?
No, because, you put www.engineer.com.au. It has to be AU, otherwise I think you pick up engineer from USA.
I see.
One other engineer in USA.
Okay.
So
and
if you
don't... Google engineer.com, you'll find your site first and our site second. I think ours is our PES Wiki coverage of your technology.
Okay.
It is listed right after yours. Thank you for your time, and we wish you the best.
Thank you, Alan. Have a nice day, mate.
Okay, you too. Take care.
Thank you. Ciao, ciao.
Bye.